All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. I have one desire above all when I preach, and it's for each person to whom I preach to be brought to the feet of Christ, to rest everything, all their hope in the Lord Jesus. And with that being my preeminent desire, if you will listen carefully, I'm going to give you the sum and substance of our gospel in one brief statement. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down to this Egypt in which we live. He came down to faithfully become a servant of God His Father. He came down in order to glorify God in the salvation of His people. And He accomplished it. And now Christ is at the right hand of God, and He's using this gospel to call out His people that He redeemed. And He won't fail to call every one of them and save every one of them through faith. Now that's the gospel we preach, and that's what we see in type here in Genesis chapter 39. Now the first thing we see, looking at Joseph as a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's what God was arranging, everything that took place here, so that in this man Joseph, we would see a picture of what his son would do when his son came into this earth. And the first thing we see with Joseph is he's brought down to Egypt. Genesis 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. Now, before this, Joseph was in his father's house. And he had glory with his father. His father made him that coat of many colors. He had glory in his father's house. He was the choice of his father. And he had glory with his father. And we read here, now Joseph left his father's house. He left that glory with his father. And he comes down now to Egypt to be a slave. To be a servant. Now, Joseph's condescension was nothing compared to the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly, Joseph did this unwillingly. The Lord Jesus willingly left the glory He had with the Father. He said, He spoke in John 17 of the glory which I had with you before the world was made. And He left that glory and He came down into this Egypt in which we live to become a servant. To serve God like none of His people could serve God. The very fact Christ came down to serve God teaches you and me we couldn't serve God. Not like God requires us to serve Him. So Christ had to come down and serve the Father in the place of His people, representing His people as the substitute for His people. Christ came as the head of His people and served God in the place of His people. That's what He came for. Look over at Philippians 2. Philippians chapter 2. And read verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now this is the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the lowliness of mind. Back up there in verse 3, he said, don't let anything be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than himself. This is the lowliness of mind of Christ. This is the how he esteemed God his Father and his brethren as better than himself. What did he do? Verse 6. And also remember who this is. Verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Christ is God. The Son of God. God the Son. The second person in the Trinity. Equal with God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And here he is, look, Verse 7, but he made himself of no reputation. He's God, but he came into the earth and made himself of no reputation. He came down. And took upon him the form of a servant. He came down even more. And was made in the likeness of men. He came down even more. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Oh, he came down when he did that. But look at how far he came down. Even the death of the cross. Not just any death. The death of the cross. He came down, down, down. And the reason Christ did this is because he entered into a covenant with his Father to glorify his Father and save all God's people from our sins. And he fulfilled that covenant. He's the God-man. And as God, he fulfilled it towards his people. And as man, he fulfills it towards God. You know what you read in Acts 7? The end of everything we see in Joseph. At the end, this is what's going to happen. Joseph calls his father to him and his brethren. And in Joseph, they're fed and rejoice and meet together. And that's what Christ came to do, to bring God the Father and his people together. Now, by God's grace, every believer, now it's only by God's grace, but every believer is going to be made a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, the righteousness, Christ our righteousness. We're going to be made a servant of righteousness. We don't come into this world a servant of righteousness. We come into this world a servant of sin, a servant of our will, a servant of our fallen fleshly nature. We come in here serving ourselves. But all God's children, all those Christ redeemed, are going to be made the servants of Christ. And what that tells you and me is the servant's not greater than his Lord. Christ is our Lord, and if he came down, he's going to make his people come down. Because that's the whole purpose for which Joseph was coming down into Egypt. You see, Joseph told his brethren, you're going to bow to me. And his brethren said, no, we're not going to bow to you. And they threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. But the whole thing God was working is, Joseph came down into this Egypt so that when it's all said and done, we're going to find over in Genesis 50 and verse 18, it's going to say this, his brethren also went and fell down before Joseph's face. You see, they're going to have to be brought down, just like the gospel declared to them. And I'm declaring to you in this gospel, you're going to be brought down to Christ. And you, in your own natural heart, think, I'm not going to be brought down to him. But if you're God's, you're going to be brought down and fall at his face, before his face. He's going to be brought down. All right, secondly, Genesis 39, Joseph was brought under the rule of the Egyptians. He was brought under the rule of Egypt. Look here at the end of verse 1. It says, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought Joseph of the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now, who brought Christ down? The Ishmaelites brought Joseph down. You know the Ishmaelites typify? You remember who they came from? Ishmael. Ishmael's the son of the curse. Isaac I've chosen, not Ishmael. Ishmael has to be cast out. He's the son of the bondwoman. He pictures the law. And the Egyptians, you know who they came from? They came from Ham. They're the descendants of Ham, that son of Noah that discovered Noah's nakedness. And so God cursed him. And this represents, it's a picture here, Joseph coming under the power of Ishmael and under the power of the Egyptians. Under the power of Potiphar, under the power of Pharaoh. It's a picture of Christ who willingly came down under the law. Who came down under the curse that his people deserved, were under. He came down under the power of death. And this he did to redeem his people, to purchase his people from being under the law and from being under the curse of the law. And from being under the power of death. That's the only way we could be delivered out from it, was for Christ to come down and make Himself to be under it and deliver us out from under it. Look at Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3. Can you believe this? I prepared this message, and I totally didn't even see this second part of verse 1, and I totally skipped this, and I just was reading it right here, and I thought, I missed the most important part of the whole thing. And so I sat down here and wrote some notes out real quick, because this is the most important part of the whole message. Look here, Galatians 4 and verse 3. Even so, when we were children, speaking of God's elect, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. We were under the law, we were under the curse, we were under death. Dead in sins. And look at this. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Under the law, under the curse, and the curse and fulfillment of the law is death. If you've sinned, you got to die. And so Christ came down and took the sin of His people and was willingly submitted to God, poured out justice on Him. So that now justice, the justice of God is satisfied, and God's the justifier of His people. All in one person, all in Christ. God was slaying His people in Christ under the justice of the law, and in grace, making His people to live forever. All in that one sacrifice of Christ. Now look here. Look here in verse, but when the fullness He sent Him to be, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant. You're not a servant of the law, the servant of the curse, and a servant of sin and death anymore. Now, you're a son. We're servants of our God, but we're servants who are sons. You know how much better it would be for a son to serve his father than it is for a slave to serve his master? And we're sons serving our father gladly. Because we want to. Because of what Christ did. Now go back to our text. Here's the third thing we see. Genesis 39 and verse 2 says, God was with Joseph. When he came down to Egypt, God was with Joseph. Verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. Whenever Christ came into this world, God was with His Son. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 19. Everything that was taking place with Joseph, God was with Joseph, accomplishing God's will. And the picture there is when Christ, His Son, came into this world, God was in Christ accomplishing His will. Everything Christ was doing, He said, I came, Lord, to do Thy will. Sacrifice and offering you've had no pleasure in. Men think that they look at the law and they think, well, all I got to do is sacrifice and offer some things to God and He'll receive me. No, God never had any pleasure in that. That never satisfied God. He said, lo, I come to do Thy will, O God. Christ came. He took away that old covenant of works that He might save His people in the covenant of grace. Look here, verse 2 Corinthians 5:19. And that was the will of God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Well, see there, God, it means Christ died for the whole world. Look at the second last part. That tells you who this world is. It's those to whom God will never impute trespasses to. That means they can't die. They can't perish in their sins. They can't perish in unbelief. They must be brought to the feet of Christ and saved. That's who it is. Because God won't impute trespasses to them because He imputed our trespasses to Christ. All right, now, that's what we see here. God was in Christ. Now, as God was with Christ when He came into this world, and God worked His will in Christ when He was in this world, whenever God calls His child, God is formed in the heart of His child. Christ, our God and our Savior, is formed in the heart of His child. So that God is now with His child. He's always been with us in His covenant of grace. We just didn't know it. But then He makes us to know God is with us. He makes us to behold Emmanuel, God with us. He makes us to behold what Christ said in John 17, I in them, and thou in me. You see those, what do they call those nesting bowls that go inside of one another? Well, this is the glorious nesting bowl right here. This is Christ in you and God in Christ. Why? That they may be made perfect in one. In God, in Christ. That's the purpose of it. And that's where He's going to bring His child. That's why He's going to bring us down. He's going to bring us down. He's going to bring us to see we're under the law and the curse until He makes us to see no more. We're brought out from under it in Christ. And He's going to make us see God is with us. God's with us. Now look, fourth thing. Joseph prospered. When Joseph came into Egypt, Joseph prospered. Verse 2, Genesis 39:2. And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. The Lord made Joseph prosper. And the Lord made this man who thought he was Joseph's master, and for all practical purposes was, but he made him see that the Lord made everything Joseph did to prosper. Made everything he did to prosper. Well, who's the prosperous man? Is the prosperous man you and me? No. The prosperous man is Christ Jesus, the God-man. He's the only prosperous man. There's only two men, remember, Adam and Christ. You're going to be found in Adam, the first representative, or Christ, the last head, the last Adam. One of the two. We're going to be found in our works, or we're going to be found under grace. We're going to be found in ourself and our flesh and our sins, or we're going to be found in Christ's righteousness and holiness, redeemed forever by Christ. One of the two places. Christ is the prosperous man. God was with Christ, and He made Him to prosper. Listen to this. Isaiah 53:10 says, it pleased the Lord, it satisfied the Lord, it satisfied divine justice to bruise Christ. And it says, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong days. He's going to see all his children in Christ redeemed from the curse. And he's going to prolong their days forever in Christ, whose days have been prolonged forever. And here's why it's going to happen. Because the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in Christ's hand. There's where the pleasure of the Lord prospers. Not in my hand, not in your hand. God didn't make us for that reason. God didn't make you so that you could save yourself and glory in yourself for everything you did for you, for God. That's not why He... No, God created you and created me and allowed us to fall in sin so that when He saves His people, we're going to all confess Christ is the glory of God. We're going to give God glory for Him being the prosperous man. And I'll tell you this, everybody's going to give Him that glory. Everybody's going to bow to Him and give Him that glory. Either by grace or in judgment, but we're all going to do it. Because that's what God made us for. He's going to be glorified in them that are saved and in them that perish. That's what He made us for. Listen to this. Psalm 45. Let's just turn to this. Psalm 45. This is David writing, but this is Christ speaking. Listen to this. This is David writing about Christ. Listen to this. Psalm 45:2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. That includes me and you and everybody else. Christ is fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O Most Mighty, with thy glory and with thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Here's his prosperity right here, verse 7. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. He rides majestically and prosperously. Look back at Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. Now you didn't think this was about you, did you? Look at Psalm chapter 1. You didn't think this psalm was about you and something you're going to do for God. This psalm is all about Christ. He's the blessed man. Listen to Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You ever done that? Have you ever, of your own will and your own power, ever done that? Walked not in the counsel of the ungodly? That's how we came into the world. Christ never did. Look at this. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Christ never rejected a word from God. That's what scorn to be a scorner is to reject the grace of God, reject His gospel, reject His word, stand and question it, and think you're better than everybody else because you don't believe this. That's a scorner. He never stood with the scornful. Look at this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's Christ. That's Christ. And it can only be said of you and me, in Christ. In Christ. All right, now. The way that He's going to make you prosper, the way He's going to make me prosper, all His elect, is He's going to bring us to rest all in Christ. All in Christ. He's going to make us to see Christ establish righteousness for His people. Christ is the holiness of His people. Christ is the redemption of His people. Christ is the wisdom of His people. And He's going to bring us to the feet of Christ. He's going to bring us down. He's going to bring us to behold Christ has redeemed us from the curse and condemnation of the law and delivered us from death. Number three, He's going to make us behold God is with us in Christ. Number four, He's going to make us see that all God's elect prosper in Christ. We're made accepted in the Beloved. This is what God does. You see, the gospel all revolves around and is in its sum and substance the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is about Him. Now look at fifthly. Potiphar entrusted everything into Joseph's hand. Look here, Genesis 39:4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, in Potiphar's sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. Potiphar made Joseph overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into Joseph's hand. Everything he had, he put into Joseph's hand. God the Father entrusted everything he had into the hand of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father didn't entrust you and me with anything, brethren. This is the difference between the message we preach and the message this world's religion preaches. This world's standing up today and they're saying, now Christ has done all He can do, and He's done this and that, and you're saved in Him, but as Brother Eric's pointed out, but now you got to do A, B, and C. That's mixing grace and works. And when you go into those places, this is what you discover, it's phony. It's phony as a $3 bill. And you sit there and you think, this is phony. That preacher hadn't done what he's saying, and those people hadn't done what they're saying. And it turns men against religion. It makes men leave that place eventually if they're fortunate enough to leave it. And they leave the church like that. And then they say, when a true church comes along, they say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. I've been around religion. I've seen how phony it is. Listen to me. I have never done anything that commends me to God. I'm not doing anything right now that commends me to God. My commendation to God is Christ, His Son, only. And that's true of His people. That's why when you come into God's house, you're not going to find His people walking around and acting like they're better than you and looking down their noses at you. because we're just a bunch of worms saved by God's grace, and that's it. That is all. You'll find a peaceful place in God's house where it's not phony, where people be honest with you about who they are and who God is. Now, you might not like that by nature. You might hate that by nature till He brings you down, and you will. But that's going to be the case with God's people. Now, let me give you some scripture to show you God entrusted Christ with everything. Luke 10:22. Christ said all things, Luke 10:22, Christ said all things are delivered to me of my Father. All things are delivered to me of my Father. That means God the Father entrusted everything, this whole work of salvation, into Christ's hand. And He says, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And who the Father is but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal Him. You mean if I'm going to know God, I have to be brought to know Him by the Son revealing God to me? That's right. He to whom the Son will reveal Him. John 16:15, Christ said this concerning the Holy Spirit. John 16:15, He said, all things that the Father hath are mine. That means God delivered everything to His Son. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that the Holy Spirit shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. That doesn't mean that the God the Holy Spirit, all things don't belong to Him. That just means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one. And it means everything that belongs to Christ belongs to God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit's going to come and take of those things and show them to His people. God's entrusted everything to Christ. Now, why did He do that? Why did He do that? He did it for two reasons. Number one, it was for God. God was doing something for Himself when He sent His Son. He was glorifying Himself. God's justice had to be satisfied. So He sent His Son to satisfy divine justice. God has to pour out. We all have sin. Do you think everybody here can agree on that? We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So therefore, justice demands, the justice of God demands, every soul that sinneth must die. So we're going to all die. We're going to die. And here's what's going to make the difference. God chose some people in His Son before the world was made, and He sent His Son forth to die for them. And Christ laid down His life for them. He saved them. He satisfied justice for them. So God's going to pour out justice on everybody, just like He did in Noah's day. Everybody died. The difference was Noah was put in the ark. And so the ark bore the rain. It bore the flood in Noah's place. Christ bore that flood in place of His people. That's the difference. That's the difference. And so, therefore, God's just and God's the justifier. Now, don't sit there, sinner, and say, well, that leaves everybody else out. Everybody ought to have a chance. You want salvation to be by the roll of a dice? You want salvation to be by chance, really? You're a fool if you do. I want salvation to be on purpose by God, so that it won't, there's not a possibility it's going to fail. And that's what God does. And when you put yourself on the side of God's elect, see there and say, well, if that's true, and Christ died for me, I can't be lost. I cannot perish in my sin. There's where you'll find true rest, brethren. I pray God will do that for you, because it takes God to put you on Christ's side and on the side of His elect to see God's done it all for you. There's nothing about you better than anybody else that made God choose you. It wasn't anything about me that made God choose me. It was grace. That's what grace is. Unmerited favor. Grace. Grace. Now, brethren, that's what God's going to bring us to see. He did it for God and He did it for His people. And He's going to bring us down to His feet. And this is what He's going to make us see. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into His hand. Now listen to this. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. All things are delivered into the hand of the Son. And whoever believes Him, everything that belongs to Christ belongs to you. We're made joint heirs with Christ. All things that are Christ are ours. But now there's another side to that. He said, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Christ is the only way. He's the only way. He's the only righteousness, the only holiness, the only redemption. The only one God accepts is Christ and those who believe on His Son. All right, now, sixthly. From that time that Potiphar trusted Joseph, God blessed Potiphar for Joseph's sake. Now look here, verse 5, Genesis 39:5. And it came to pass from that time that Potiphar had made Joseph overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Now when God trusted Christ with all that he had, before the world was made, Scripture says the works were finished. The works were finished from the foundation of the world because God trusted Christ with everything. And Christ shall not fail. Christ shall not fail. And when God brings His chosen child to trust Christ with all, when God brings His child, when God brings His child to trust Christ with all, from that time forward, we behold that all the blessings God has for us are freely bestowed upon us for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, for His sake. And God blesses us from that day forward. And He makes us see He's been blessing us. He didn't let us die in our sins. He hedged me about all the days of my rebellion when I look back and think about the motorcycle wrecks and the three-wheeler wrecks and the just the absolute total recklessness of my own self and the things I did. Who saved me from dying and all that? Who would not take no for an answer and brought me to hear the gospel and brought me to the feet of Christ? God did. He was blessing me that whole time. And now I've been blessed, I see, from the day I was called. I see I've been blessed by God in every way all the time. But it's not because of anything I did. It's for the sake of Christ. For the sake of Christ. Scripture says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's it. That's it. The Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake. And God, Christ is God's great namesake. That's right. He's God's great namesake. Now, there's something else here, too, about this. You notice it says He blessed the Egyptians for Christ's sake. Everything that's taking place in this world right now, and everything that's happening in this world right now, is for Christ's sake. It's all for Christ's sake. And the reason that God has not destroyed this world right now is because Christ has a people in it. And He's not going to take no from them. He's going to bring them to life and faith in Christ because He's going to have His Son glorified. That's what the Scriptures tell us when it speaks over there in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord's not a slacker. Don't attribute that to the Lord. He's not slack concerning His promise. The Lord is bringing fast all His promises. But it says, the Lord's long-suffering to everybody? No, to usward, His people. Everything He's doing for Christ's sake. And everything He's doing for the sake of those He put in Christ.
usward for Christ and for His people. Everything he's doing for usward, because he's not willing that any of the usward shall perish, but that all shall come to repentance. And he says, therefore, you can count on this. The long suffering of the Lord is salvation. If God's not willing for something to happen, it's not happening. And God's not willing that any of his people will perish, but they come to salvation. So next time you're out there and you don't believe Christ, and you don't believe this gospel, and you're patting yourself on the back and saying, well, God's blessing me because I did so and so and so and so. Hear me in your heart when you think that. No, he ain't. No, he's not blessing you because of that. If God ever blesses you or he blesses me, it's going to be for Christ's sake. That's what he's doing. What about all the good things that are happening to these evil people in the world? Scripture says they're just pigs being fattened for the slaughter. Our pigs, when I grew up, we had pigs. And our pigs ate better than a lot of animals in this world. We fed them constantly every day. And they were fat and sassy. But we didn't do it but for one reason. To slaughter them and eat them. That's it. God saves his people. He's not fattening his people. Most of the time, his people are poor and needy in this world because he's not going to let you get too rich to forsake him or too poor to forsake him. He's going to keep you in Christ. And that's usually against what our flesh would rather have. But it's right where we need to be in Christ. Now, here's the last thing. Potiphar left it in Joseph's hand. You think, well, that ought to be included in the other point. No, this needs to be included as a point of its own. He not only trusted him with everything he had, he left it all in Joseph's hand. Now look at this, verse 6. This is our last point. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and Potiphar knew not aught he had, save for the bread which he did eat. You just picture that. Potiphar trusted Joseph so implicitly that he did not go around and check up on Joseph. He just trusted his whole house, all his servants, everything he had into Joseph's hand. And the only thing Potiphar knew that he had on a day-to-day basis was the bread that Joseph had put before him. And that's all he knew he had. Now, Christ is the bread. And God don't check up on his son. He didn't have to. Christ will not fail. He put it all in Christ's hand, trusted his son to redeem his people, call out his people, preserve his people, and one day deliver up the whole kingdom to God's before God. And that's what Christ is going to do. And God's not going around having to correct his son and check up on his son. No, Christ shall not fail to do what God sent him to do. And when God brings you down, when he brings you down, and he brings you to see that you've never, ever done anything for him, but Christ delivered you from the law. And when he brings you to see that the Lord is with you now, and he brings you to see that he's made you prosperous in Christ's hand, that's when he'll bring you to trust everything into Christ's hand. And when he brings you to trust everything into Christ's hand, God's going to see to it that you leave it in Christ's hand. We would often put it back in our hand. And we do try to do that on a daily basis. And God sees to it by his gospel and his providence that he makes his child leave it in Christ's hand. And the only thing you and I really know we have, we know we have everything in Christ. We know we have righteousness and holiness in Christ, but do you see it right now? I don't see it in me. Do you? God says we are righteous and holy in the new man that's born by Christ being formed in you, and that righteousness and holiness is all of Christ. That's what he said. But I don't see that in me, but I trust I have it because Christ says I have it. But you know what I have on a daily basis? This is what I have on a daily basis. Christ the bread set before me. And that's all I need to know. That's all I need. I don't know all I have yet. I haven't attained yet. I'm not perfect. I haven't attained yet. But I forget everything that's behind. I'm pressing towards one mark. You know what all I really care about every day on a daily basis? is that I have some bread to eat. Everything else is pretty much gravy. I just need some bread to eat every day. Enough to survive is all I really need. Christ is the bread, and He gives it to His people. And let me tell you something. When He gives you Christ, and He makes you leave it all in Christ's hand, He'll bless you from then on in His house and in the field. In all spiritual things and in all temporal things, He'll bless His people. And He'll make you see that you can trust Christ and you leave it there. You leave it there. Listen to this. Every joy, every trial falleth from above, traced upon our bow by the Son of Love. We may trust Him fully. That's all for us to do. And they who trust Him wholly find Him wholly true. Do you trust Him? Do you trust Him? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Amen. Our glorious Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it exalts Christ and it brings us to His feet, makes us rest everything in Him, makes us look to Him, makes us leave it all in His hand. Lord, we pray now that You do this through Your gospel. Call out one of Your children that You may one day finish that work too and deliver us all up to God, Your Father, and present us to Him holy and spotless and without blame, so that every one of us might fall down at Your feet, even in glory, and cry out, "Worthy is the Lamb." You've done it all. You've done it all. Thank You for revealing this mystery and this purpose of God in our hearts. We pray that You do it now, one of Your lost children. For Christ's sake, for His honor, His glory, we pray. Amen.